It's time now for Superstars of Business. Welcome as Pioneer Natural Resources sponsors this in-depth look at our area businesses, products, and services. Let's learn more about local business owners, contributions to our community, and what helps make our area work. And today we have Florence Higgins with Higgins Environmental Solutions in the studios. Good morning, Florence.
Good morning. How are you this beautiful morning?
Beautiful morning.
Yes.
Beautiful. We have a wonderful environment around here, don't we?
Oh, yes. We work very hard at it.
And it's your job to help us keep it that way.
I work at it.
Give us a little synopsis of what exactly is Higgins Environmental Solutions.
Well, Higgins Environmental Solutions was a dream that I had. I retired 4 years ago from the state of New Mexico and had all this 30 years of expertise and experience and lots of things that I thought I could still do, and I retired and sat at home for about 30 days and was driving Mike crazy and decided I really needed to find something else to do. And so I sat down and put this together, and it was born from trying to help the local area, because as an environmentalist with the state of New Mexico, a lot of times I could tell them what was wrong, but I couldn't really help them all the way through to the finish to make it fixed. Well, by doing this on the private side, I can help them make it a reality within what they can do. We can work on their dream and we can make it work, or we can make them safer. And it's at less cost than if they brought someone in from Denver or Amarillo or Albuquerque. Because one of the big things is paying them to come up here. If I go to Las Cruces, that's a three-day trip for one day of work. And so it's the same thing when they came here.
Okay.
So I did those things to try and make it less. So when I do things up here, I do it for a lot less than I would do it if they were out and away.
Sure, sure. And what are some of those things that you do? What are some of the services and problems that you've run up against?
Primarily, I work in food service. Restaurants, processors, a little bit in food pantries, things like that. Anything that is related to serving food to the public. And then I work a lot in swimming pools, in doing some troubleshooting there or doing some training with them. New Mexico requires that they be certified, and I am a nationally certified trainer, so I can provide them with a class. So that's the two things that I do the most. I do a few environmental impact statements, but those are up here. I don't get out of my own corner to do things like that. An environmental impact statement is done when you purchase a piece of land, and in order to get the loan on that piece of land, especially if it's going to be for some kind of a commercial use, there has to be a clearance as to what was done on that land before. Right. And so I can go do that investigation for them. I don't do any core drilling or do anything like that. It's just called a level one environmental assessment. I can do those up here for about a third the cost of what they can bring someone in. And I like playing outside and playing in the dirt and looking around and doing those things. Okay. So that's the three things that I do the most of is food service, swimming pools, and a little bit of soils work and a little bit of asbestos work here and there. So.
Okay. Environmental, of course, an all-encompassing subject, et cetera. So I might add, if you see Florence eating in a restaurant or if you see her in the swimming pool, it's okay. Everything is good.
If you saw me in a swimming pool, it would probably be a very cold day around here. Because I like to play in the pump rooms. I don't swim very well.
I'm with you there. I'm with you.
But I love my swimming pool here. It's a beautiful pool, and I'm very proud of it. I think it's part mine.
Yeah. It's now, speaking of the regulations and the regulatory part of it, the environmental, now you worked with the state for 30 years. Mm-hmm. I'm sure things changed.
Over that 30 years?
I mean, since, how did things evolve? Did it become, it seems like it's more stringent now.
It is becoming more stringent. It was moving and changing from about 2005. So the last 3 years I worked, it was becoming more stringent. Part of that is because we're becoming a more densely populated state, believe it or not. And whenever you have more neighbors, you have to be more careful about what you're doing. And so things are becoming more stringent. But along with that being more stringent, there's clearer lines as to what is good and what is not. So you don't have to do near as much subjective negotiation. And so I can submit something, and they'll tell me whether it's satisfactory or not, and it's pretty good to do that.
Okay. So this would be especially helpful for new businesses, new startups, et cetera, because many times when you sell your old business or whatever the building, then they don't grandfather a lot of those things in. You start with the new owner, correct? You have to bring it up to code, so to speak.
New owners become as if you were building on new ground. Mm-hmm. And so everything has to be done to meet code. The only exception would be as if you were in a historical building that was on the historical register. Then you could work within that footprint, mm-hmm. such as the St. James did, because I helped with that one. You work within that footprint, but you bring up the technology, you bring up the process, so it's a safe place to stay, it's a safe place to eat, but it still has some of its old quaintness and that antiquity to it at the same time.
Right.
So, yeah, for new businesses, it's always helpful to know what you're walking into and not get surprises. So, and I would love to help.
Speaking of food safety, et cetera, food safety training, one of your aspects is for fundraisers, too. You've done a couple of classes.
We just recently finished the last class on Monday night. I had four in that class. And the classes are small, but I'm right here at home, and we're doing it for a minimum. It covers the costs of the copies, and the information is all that the costs are for it. The biggest reason for doing that is because it was born out of a conversation that said that we want our area to be one of the best tourist areas in the state of New Mexico, actually in the whole area. And one of the ways to do that is to make sure that people walk away very pleased with what they've eaten, that they're satisfied and they are not ill. Mm-hmm. Because a person who's satisfied and thinks it's great is going to tell everybody around them. But if they get sick or if something happens, then they're going to tell 10 times as many people,
right.
And then we're hurt. So one of the things is trying to promote festivals and different types of street vendors. Mm-hmm. And in doing that, we need for those people to be safe. They're not used to doing it on a routine basis. They do it for 1 or 2 days. And most of the time, it's nonprofit groups who are trying to make money to take their kids on a trip or to buy new mm-hmm. uniforms or something very vital to our existence here in a small town. So we want them to be safe, and that's what that class is about. I was approached recently by the New Mexico State University, who does a lot of video work, and they develop training and things nationally. And we're going to meet with them in November, and I'm going to present the Food for Fundraisers class, and they may pick that up and make it into a training class that can be used across the state of New Mexico, which makes me very proud that they would do that from what we're doing here in Raton.
So food is a fundraiser also. That's a temporary permit, correct?
It's a temporary permit, less than 3 days or 3 days or less, and it's putting the food out there as simple way as we can. It's keeping it simple, keeping it safe, keeping it hot, keeping it cold, keeping it clean.
Right.
If we do those real basics.
Don't do chicken cordon bleu or anything.
No, we
like
don't
that.
Do lobster
yeah.
bisque
yeah.
on a street corner,
okay.
you know, no.
All right. Okay.
It's something they can carry in their hand.
And they have to get the permit every time they do this.
They have to get the permit every time they do this from the state of New Mexico. So through the class, we go through the permit, we take a look at it. You know, there's always vocabulary that's not familiar to people outside of government, so I try to make that a little bit less daunting. And so they'll have to have their permit, and their permit, they can be limited on what they can do by the state of New Mexico. I can't guarantee that what we're talking about when they're talking with me will be acceptable, although I'll tell them, you know, the tweaks that they need to do to make it simpler.
Right. So then you being a nationally registered environmental health specialist, a registered sanitarian.
Yes, okay? That's what they call it, is registered sanitarian.
Then you can also help with certifying the food handler, both the basic and the professional food manager.
I do. I'm certified to do all of the training clear through the food process. The two national classes are a food handler class, which is a 4 or 5 hour class. It's a single day. It's designed for persons that are new to food service or are coming back into food service. Sometimes a restaurant wants all of their people trained at the same time, and we bring them all up to the same thing. The manager's class is real specific. It's a two-day class. It's significantly harder. It gives you a 5-year certification as a food service, professional food service manager. So it goes through inventory and personnel and staffing and how to recognize illness in your staff and what to do, as well as the food safety aspect of what's there.
Boy, there are a lot of different spokes to this wheel, aren't there?
Yes, yeah. And by putting them together and by putting more people out there who are trained, then we have a safer base. We've built a foundation that we can build on with experience.
And of course, obviously, everyone who handles food in a business has to be certified.
It's not required in New Mexico.
Okay.
It's required for their swimming pool operators to be that, but they've never required food operators to do it. A lot of states around us do it, and the National Restaurant Association strongly recommends that and supports it. So it's something that'll probably come down the line. It's always talked about, and I think Albuquerque is beginning to take the steps towards that now. And usually the state goes by how it works in a larger area. So it'd be Albuquerque or Las Cruces.
And so working that way towards it. Some of the other courses that you would offer for food handling, et cetera, I see here, guest hospitality.
Well, you know, one of the things that goes along with being a tourist area is being able to smile at people who aren't, they've come in off the road, they're grumpy, their kids are grumpy, they want to make circles around your restaurant, is learning to say hello and how are you and make them feel comfortable. And customer service and guest hospitality really go hand in hand with how good that food is. It's important that somebody walk away feeling like you really cared that I was here, because we do care. So it's just a simple step of saying the next person that you see is going to tell everyone who you are.
Okay. Yeah. So that internalizes it and individualizes it. You do role playing and that sort of thing.
We do a little bit of role playing. We play some games of what if is what I call them, and some things that are called what's wrong with this picture. You know, I really respect restaurant people, especially the ones that are out there right with the public. I watch them carry 3 and 4 plates. I watch them take, you know, 3 or 4 things back that somebody didn't like. I'm not sure I have that patience. I think I'm very lucky that I was not out there. I probably could have closed a restaurant down. Waitresses and waiters work very, very hard at what they do.
Absolutely, and it is a vital skill and a not necessarily a natural skill, greeting the public and promotional kind of individual. So it's something.
Yeah, you have to be on the whole time.
Yeah.
You can't wake up slowly. You have to be on and you have to be smiling. And each person needs to feel like they're the only person you're going to serve that's as important as that today.
Great. Has a lot to do with phone manners, too, as a matter of fact.
Right. Phone manners, any type of business has the same type of thing where you're welcoming people in the door.
Okay. Let's see, what other courses specifically that I'm looking through? You have quite an extensive...
I love to do training with adults, and so I do some training that is by design of a restaurant or a hotel facility. I've gone in and done both the restaurants and the food service as well as the swimming pools and hotels, working with a couple of the chains across the state. so we do some design work that says this is what we need to teach them, and this is the situation. I work very closely with the St. James. I'm very proud of what they do out there, and I love being in partnership with them. We do courses that are designed specifically for their situation, where they have indoor-outdoor service. Mm-hmm. They carry out. They fix it every which way. And so I work with them very closely, and the training that we do there is designed the same way it is with the training that I do with Kebabs. It's designed specifically for that restaurant, which really gets you in. It's a smaller, quicker situation. It's almost coffee break refreshers. Mm-hmm. But when you're working only with one restaurant, you can really get in there and do what they need done, and it's not so general.
Really customized to mm-hmm. each particular
it's customized
setting.
To that thing. Mm-hmm.
Now, incorporating green business ideas is what you are all about. I mean, I see this experience certified, but green business practice. What's green business?
What I try to do is limit the amount of processed foods. If there's a way to find a local supplier, or if there is a way to get fresh foods that can be fixed and held just as well, then we try to work with that, because then we're reducing the number of additives that are going into the foods. We also look at, with the swimming pools specifically, how to reduce the exposure of people to volatile chemicals that are in the air of an indoor facility. Or if it's an outdoor facility, how to prevent our backwash water coming off of the swimming pool from becoming a problem where we've got a puddle for mosquitoes, or where we're putting out chemicals onto ground where it won't, where it'll hurt it. So I try to do a lot of things like that, where we try to make it a more active situation. I dabbled a little bit with solar power, which is really an interesting process. It's becoming a possibility to operate facilities with strictly solar power, with minimal backup from other sources. And when we do that, then we're putting less pollution into the air that we have to breathe. So basically, it's just looking at it and trimming it down to make it a more conservative operation.
Speaking of the operations, environmental impact statements, you said you did asbestos, some work with that, sampling and identification of asbestos.
I do some identification work, and I will do very limited sampling. What I'm really certified to do is go in and identify the asbestos, take a look and see what the extent of it is, and recommend the remediation that they can do. I am trained and certified by ACME Environmental in Albuquerque, which is one of the national groups. They do large buildings. I do small buildings. I try to avoid doing something that's more than one story. Mm-hmm. I look more at buildings that are about to be torn down rather than buildings that are being renovated, because renovation is going to take a lot of remediation of numerous asbestos sources. So I look at the ones that are being torn down so that we can safely dispose of it, and so that people who are tearing it down aren't exposed to something untoward for them.
Okay, so condemnation and demolition mm-hmm. assistance, you would,
right.
That would be part of your forte too.
Mm-hmm.
Quite extensive, Florence Higgins, Environmental Solutions, locally based here in Raton. How can
yes.
people get in touch with you?
Well, they can call 575-447-6474, which is my business number, or they can send me an email at askflorence@q.com. And I'm working on a website that should be up by August. I was a little slow with that because I'm just not good at the technical stuff. So I found some help, and we're going to have that up and running so that there will be an access there.
Well, you are good at the technical stuff. Maybe not computers.
Not computers, very well.
I can relate as well.
Yeah.
Higgins Environmental Solutions, consultation, evaluation on all environmental issues, pretty much.
I try to, or I can give them someone who has more expertise in that line of work. I don't do very much in liquid waste and septic tanks anymore because there are other people who are staying up on the technology, okay. And that area is moving in leaps and bounds, and I just don't feel like I have enough expertise to be there. So I will send them to someone who is a professional in that line.
Point them in the right direction.
Point them in the right direction.
All right. If you have environmental problems, business, residential, then consider Higgins Environmental Solutions.
Thank you.
Here in Raton. Thank you, Florence. You do a lot for our community, and we know you're very involved with the United Methodist Church. I've been known to sing a note or two with the Choral Society and with the Christmas Carol things, so that's part of being involved as well. So we certainly appreciate you coming, and Higgins Environmental Solutions, again, is a locally based here in Raton. One-woman show?
Well, one-woman show with Mike as my administrative assistant.
All right, good deal.
He's great at that.
We all need one of those. Yes. Absolutely. Thank you so much, and
you're very welcome.
The best of luck, Florence Higgins.
Thank you.
And we want to thank also Higgins Environmental Solutions and also Pioneer Natural Resources for this in-depth look, our area businesses, products, etc. It has been a Superstars of Business here on KRTN in Raton, New Mexico. It is a little past 10 o'clock in the Rocky Mountain West, and let's get to some other Superstars of Business, specifically Super Save. All Dad's favorites are on sale this week at Super Save Discount Foods in South Raton. Get Kraft American Singles, 16-ounce packages are 2 for $5. Sure Fine Ice Cream, 56-ounce squares are 3 for $5. Bush's Best Grillin' or Baked Beans. Big 28-ounce cans are 2 for $3. Get Match Light Charcoal, regular or mesquite. The 6-pound bags are just $4.98 this week at Super Save Discount Food in South Raton.